Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It's Russell Talk across the country. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Ralph Williams, Smoking Jim Frazier in Pittsburgh. Our guest, Clayton Trutor, could be in Atlanta. We'll find that out. But for 30 minutes, we're going to get on the mat with this thing. And man, oh man, it's going to be something talking WWE, AEW, NXT, whatever you want to talk about, ECW. We'll bring everything to the forefront. I'm going to let these three guys run it. I'll sit back, man the board and everything. But if you want to, jump in and send a question, 347-205-9631. We'll get you live. You can hear the show afterwards, archived on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, let's get the introductions out of the hand. As I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. Ralph, first of all, how are you, and how can you be found, my friend?
I'm doing good, and I can be found at ralphwilliams737@gmail.com. Also on my Facebook and on Twitter and on Wimkin and also on YouTube channel, which I check out my shows and subscribe. And then also I'm also on Facebook Sports Corner, the way I see it, and Wrestle Talk. It's all one page on Facebook as well, and you can reach me there too.
Well, as I give it over to Smoking Jim, he knows more women than probably the whole state of California has. Smoking Jim, how are you today? And how can people get a hold of you, my good friend?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for asking, Mark. Instagram, Smoking Jim Frazier. Facebook, Jim Frazier.
And, man, as we get it over to our guests, and who knows, he can love getting on this show, too, all the time. Clayton Trutor. Clayton, first of all, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? And, boy, so blessed to have you part of this thing tonight, too.
Doing well, Mark. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing great. My name's Clayton Trutor. I hope you guys check out my book, Loserville, How Professional Sports Remade Atlanta and How Atlanta Remade Professional Sports. It's been featured on ESPN, on Sports Illustrated, in Publishers Weekly. It's available for about 40% off right now on Amazon.com. You can check me out at Clayton Trutor. On Twitter, ClaytonTrutor. I'm on Facebook. I'd love to be your friend. And I have a website, ClaytonTrutor.com, with a list of all my different sports writings and activities there.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Money comes and goes. Relationships are priceless. As I turn it over to you, Ralph, you could take it away with Smoke and Jim and Clayton till I'll come back at the end as I man the boards for you.
Okay, great, everybody. Great to be here tonight. I'm going to start off with the topics. First, we're going to start with WWE. I wanted to let everyone know Booker T this past week participated in a tag team match with an independent company called ROW, which is being ran by the AOL, Authors of Pain, or the AOP, I'm sorry, the Authors of Pain. They have a new wrestling group out now called ROW. Also, reports have Ronda Rousey making more money than Dana White in UFC. Raw, this is breaking news from tonight, is lifting the PG from their rating on Raw. They're going to be now TV-14. And also breaking news tonight, and Big E will be back with the WWE as a scout until he is cleared to wrestle. So that was good news. Curtis Axel and Larry Daivari, former wrestlers. Curtis Axel is the son of the late Curt Hennig and grandson of Larry the Axe Hennig. He decided to go with his name as Curtis Axel. Them two have been let go by the WWE. They were working as producers and security for a little while. Dolph Ziggler is back in the WWE. He attacked Theory on Monday Night Raw. But Dave Meltzer is reporting that the WWE is bringing him back because they want him to work with Theory and season him a little bit so that Theory can work with a veteran and start a conflict with him and be able to work with him. Okay, guys, what do you think of our topics tonight? And you can also call in. Mark will be taking your texts. Go ahead, guys. What's your thoughts on that? We'll start off with our guest. We'll give him first dibs. Clayton, what's your thoughts?
First of all, I'm excited to have Dolph Ziggler back. I think he's one of the best workers and one of the best talkers in the business. I think throughout his career, he's elevated whomever he's worked with. So it's exciting to have him back in the WWE. I mean, it's such a huge roster right now. There's so much talent around it. It can be very overwhelming trying to follow all the different dimensions of the product. But I think in any context, Dolph Ziggler stands out, and it's good to have him back.
Absolutely. Smoking Jim.
Holy heck, how can I follow Clayton? He's so smooth, man. Great stuff, Clayton. But I got a question for Ralph and Clayton. 20-year anniversary, John Cena. What do you guys think about John Cena, his career, and maybe a favorite match or two that John Cena had in the last 20 years? What a remarkable career.
The one match that I really liked was the one when he lost to Brock Lesnar, and then he lost his title, and then he came back the following pay-per-view, and he beat him with he pulled out the old chains and beat him with the chains. I like that. That was my favorite match, right on some steel steps, too. I thought that was a good match. I thought, and JBL once said this, Smoking Jim and Clayton, big match, John. Anytime there was a big match, John always showed up. And so that's what I know him as, big match, John.
I guess for me, my favorite John Cena matches are when he matched up with CM Punk. I see that as being the transition of his character from being a white meat babyface into something that's more ambiguous, having part of the crowd cheering for him, part of him against him. In recent years, he's become more of an ambassador for the company, sort of in a way that The Rock has, this person who largely exists outside of the WWE universe, but still is representing it to the world. But I think for the largest part of his career, it seemed to be he was this character that was, to the kids, the baby face, to the smarts in the crowd, he was the enemy. And it was kind of an interesting antagonism, I think. And I think in and of itself, that mentality drew money, having him being neither exactly a babyface or exactly a heel. I think it has a very similar feel to Bret Hart in 97 when he's the hero in Canada, he's a heel in the U.S. I think that ambiguity often works well for the WWE, and I think in the case of John Cena's legacy, that's an important element of it, and I think those CM Punk matches really brought that to the forefront.
Absolutely.
Ralph Clayton, would you consider John Cena one of the top five wrestlers of all time, or what is your top three or top five wrestlers of all time, Ralph and Clayton?
Go ahead.
You mean wrestlers from all around or WWE, Jim?
Yeah, all over the history of it.
All right. First of all, start off with Bruno Sammartino, Bob Backlund, Hulk Hogan. Let me see. John Cena. I'll put Cena in there, number four. And I also think that and Ric Flair.
I guess for me, Cena's one of the great ambassadors for the business because he's someone who truly transcended wrestling and found popularity outside of it. To me, any list in terms of wrestling, the total package, whether it's in the ring, whether it's talking, whether it's their look, whether it's their outside presentation, I think you have to put Hulk Hogan on there because for many people, when they close their eyes and envision wrestling, it's Hulk Hogan. Ric Flair's personally my favorite. I've always loved Bret Hart, his work, Ricky Steamboat. I guess that would be my handful of favorites. We heard from David from Moore Park, California, said his all-time favorites are John Cena, The Rock, Triple H, Mick Foley, and Hogan. So there's a lot of same names in the different lists we're coming up with.
Okay, great. All right. Anybody have either you guys have any questions about any of the topics I discussed about the WWE? First of all, I want to talk a little bit about, as far as WWE goes, I want to talk a little bit about Ric Flair. Lately, you know, Ric Flair is up for this last match, and it's going to be in Nashville, Tennessee, and it's going to be hosted by MLW. The thing I have with this is he's 71 years old. He's trying to get himself into shape for this last match. Opponent to be announced. They don't even know whose opponent's going to be yet. And I've come to find out some interesting information about Ric Flair, even though I have him as one of my top five wrestlers. He happens to be a jerk, and it turns out that he has two guys that I respect in wrestling, Conan and Mark Madden, have both come forward and have said that, Ric Flair is a jerk. And even Arn Anderson even come forward and said that Ric Flair is hard to work with. And so what's your thoughts, guys?
I guess personally, I try to separate the man from their work. I mean, the way he is personally, the way he is behind the scenes, that's certainly one thing. But I think as a performer, he's one of the all-time greats. There's few people who've drawn as much money as him, have drawn as much interest. I think in terms of Flair wrestling again, that's really up to him. I mean, it's not particularly a match I'm that interested in, seeing a guy in his 70s getting out there. But if there's an audience for it, God bless them. I hope they're successful. I think he should wrestle Conrad Thompson in that match. I think it would be a great pairing there.
Ric Flair is my all-time favorite wrestler, even ahead of the great Bruno Sammartino, so I don't have anything negative to say about Slick Rick. But we're up to 167 people logged in. Tom from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, says, what's the new deal with AEW, Ralph?
Well, I don't know what kind of new deal he's talking about. There's all kinds of deals out there. They just signed a new TV deal. They're going to be on TBS and TNT, and also they have, I don't know where they're going to put some of their ROH programming on. I'm not sure. I know there's the deal is right now that they're losing listener or they're losing viewers, and attendance is down at some of their events. I don't know if people are getting tired of the same old stuff there, or if it's maybe everybody's – who knows? I mean, I've said this many times, Smoke and Jim, and I've said this many times, too, to the caller in Beaver Falls. The independents are starting to take over because what happens here is there's more personality. You could go up to these real close to these wrestlers and shake hands with them and take pictures, and they won't tell you to go take a hike or anything like that. The merchandise is cheaper. You could see them in stadium settings for like $10 rather than going to see. And some of these matches, like here in Pittsburgh, we have the International Wrestling Cartel once in a while brings in superstars. This weekend they got Braun Strowman, whose real name is Adam Kerr, wrestling down in Washington Wild Thing Park this weekend. So, I mean, and then got Keystone Wrestling doing something under one of our bridges, having a match under the bridge. That draws well. And, the independents are coming around, and there's a lot of them. You see the authors of Page has started their own independent wrestling company called ROW. Car Shield has Memphis Wrestling now. So, I mean, there's a lot of these small independent wrestling companies coming out, and they're fighting in these little gyms and places all across the country, and people like it because it's better, it's closer, it's more intimate. It's not, you don't have to sit 3 miles away and pay $400 for a ticket. So, I mean, it's now starting to be, the minor leagues are starting to take over the major leagues when it comes to wrestling now, plus the economy. People can't afford to take their kids to these matches. The ticket prices are sky high, and especially if you go through an agency.
I will say, in spite, I haven't really followed the ratings closely for AEW. I think the week-to-week product is still very good, and I like the amount of content there is. It's an amount where I can watch the entirety of the product, follow it closely. With WWE, to me, there's just way too much out there. There's plenty of talented people there, but I have a tough time with three-hour program after three-hour program. I thought at Fyter Fest last week with Swerve and Our Glory winning the tag title, I thought that was a really good three-way match. I'm particularly a fan of Keith Lee because I think he has a unique look in wrestling. Rather than being a bodybuilder, he almost looks like a bouncer at a bar, like a guy who's legitimately in fights all the time. And I think in some ways he's like a throwback to the old NWA kind of style in the sense, like it looks like a simulated fight when he's out there. He looks like a guy that you're actually going to see in real life and be like, I'm not going to mess with that guy, as opposed to, Wardlow or something who just, looks like a bodybuilder or – you know, someone along those lines. So I actually think the AEW product is a lot of fun to watch right now. And they really have a – I mean, both companies have fine rosters, but I think theirs, they've really built it up nicely.
Yeah, I believe that to be the case. Smoker Jim, what's your thoughts on AEW?
Well, I think you guys covered it all. I agree with you wholeheartedly. We're up over 244 people dialed in right now. We got Frank from Bucks County, Pennsylvania, is in. How about Nicholas from Burlington, Vermont? He says,
wow.
Ralph, he says, I miss ECW. That was wrestling. He said, I was in Philadelphia the day their shows were bomb. What do you think of that?
Well,
yeah, ECW had good product. They had Paul Heyman put out a real good type of physical, what they call hardcore wrestling, extreme championship wrestling. And I thought that it was really, really a good product, and it was just sad that they ran out of money and they ran out, and Vince McMahon bought them out and put a generic version on it. So what I'm saying is that, you know, that's what's been going on right now with some of the stuff, you know, people buying everything. And as far as AEW goes, I agree with Clayton that the product is better. I like watching the matches, and I like the factions, and I like everything about AEW. I agree with them, too, and I've said this many times, and so has Mark, that Raw has gotten so boring sometimes that you have to turn it to something else. And right now there's no Monday Night Football, so you got to turn it to something else or find something else to watch because it gets boring, it gets too much talking, too much drama. At least AEW has a lot of wrestling.
Yeah, I agree, Ralph. I mean, I think one of the problems with Raw is if you go on YouTube, there's always like the Raw Rewind, the top 10 moments from Raw. I'll just watch the 9 minutes of that as opposed to watching this multi-hour program sometimes so I can kind of just keep up with the storylines. In terms of the ECW question, I loved ECW as well. I was in high school at the time. I remember staying up late on Saturday nights to watch the program that came in on syndication for me. One thing when I think back to ECW is it seemed simultaneously really modern with the hardcore style, but I think in some ways it was keeping with a lot of wrestling traditions. It's sort of, I think, with the blood and guts quality, was a bit like Florida with the Grands and Bill Watts in Memphis. So I think in some ways it seemed traditional and modern at the same time, and I think it was able to bring in a lot of different audiences because of that, because it could bring in different wrestling fans with different areas of focus. I got a question from Albert from Poway, California, asking what's wrong with the WWE's development of talent and what's going on with Vince and John Laurinaitis. I'll leave that one to you guys.
Vince McMahon has stepped down as CEO of the WWE. Stephanie is running it now. She's the CEO. Triple H is the COO. And they fired John Laurinaitis, and they have Bruce Pritchard doing his job right now, and Bruce Pritchard doing his original job. So they have that going on right now. That's so far the management structure that I know of, other than Shane is a producer here and there, and they got some ex-wrestlers back there. They got Tyson Kidd, Natalia's husband, he's a producer, and they got a few other guys doing producing work as well.
I kind of envision Laurinaitis really being the one thrown under the bus with this, that he's going to take the brunt of this. They're going to push it. It was all Laurinaitis. You know, they're going to try to really focus it on him, and I figure Vince is going to find his way back in some respect. What do you guys think?
Well, yeah, he will. He's got the money for it. He'll cover things up. Smoker Jim, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, you know, I'm a WWE fan, so Vince McMahon fan. 3 hours is not long enough for me. I think I'm in the minority there, man. I'm enjoying it. I got it on right now and on mute. I tape it every week, and I tell you what, man, they'll come up with the storylines. They'll find the right combination of talent to get the viewers and the product back up. Hey, they made over $1 billion last year, so they're still doing something right, and they're right on in my book.
I think in terms of the question about their development of talent, I think they develop tons of talent. You look at that roster. There's 50 guys and girls in that roster who are fantastic. I think the problem is that you look at the main events and it's going to be Roman Reigns and Brock and stuff all the time. They've got so many talented people. I don't think that's really their issue. It's about how they push people. They just go back and back and back to the same well, I think.
Yeah, they keep. You're right, Clayton. They keep doing the same storylines over and over again, and they need to develop new rivalries. It's what they need to do, and they haven't done that. And it's been going on now for at least since COVID. And budget cuts. They keep cutting these wrestlers and cutting out some of these people. And I think that's a sad situation. So, speaking of Dolph Ziggler coming back, where's Robert Roode? Robert Roode's a great wrestler. I mean, you know, he was a lost soul. I mean, you know, but anyway, you're listening to Wrestle Talk. I'm Ralph Williams and Smokin' Jim Frazier, our special guest, Clayton Tridor from Atlanta, who's a big wrestling fan and an author of a sports book on Atlanta sports. And Mark Mancini is producing as usual. Go ahead, Clayton. Go ahead, Smokin' Jim. What's your thoughts on what I was saying about the storylines with the WWE?
I think part of it's just, to me, I mean, the three-hour thing, there's too many storylines. I find it tough to follow. I think going back to the days of Vince Russo and stuff in the late 90s, there was this sense, and I love the Attitude Era, but that every single person has to be involved in a soap opera. I don't think that's the case. I think a lot of guys can just go out there and perform. Wrestling fans like watching wrestling. The guys at the top end have a storyline around them, have that building trying to draw money. But the idea that everybody needs a narrative every single week, I think, is just too much. And that's why they have this room full of writers, apparently, every week crafting all this stuff. I think they've taken something fairly simple and tried to make it too hard.
Smokin' Jim.
Man, I love the way you and Clayton breaks things down, man. I tell you what, I can't even add anything more to that. We only got about 8 minutes left in the show, Ralph. Did you want to talk a little bit about Clayton's book? We're up over 300 people tuned in tonight. That's incredible.
Wow. Yeah, Clayton, why don't you tell us about your book that you wrote about Atlanta sports and what you're doing with your book and everything else?
Great. I published a book earlier this year with the University of Nebraska Press called Loserville, How Professional Sports Remade Atlanta and How Atlanta Remade Professional Sports. It's basically about the 1960s and 1970s. Atlanta is the first city outside of the Northeast, outside of the Midwest, that became a big-time sports town really out of nothing. Obviously, you had the Dodgers and Giants relocate to the West Coast during the 1950s. You had the Rams out there and the 49ers already. But Atlanta goes from having no teams whatsoever to teams in all four professional leagues in a six-year period. In 1965, there's no pro sports in town. They get two teams in 66, the Falcons and Braves. By 72, they have the Flames in the NHL. They also have the Hawks in the NBA. And essentially, the story of the book is how difficult it was for expansion cities to really become excellent sports markets. It was just too much too soon for Atlanta. It was a very spread-out city with a lot of transplants. There's some divides between the city and the suburbs. And the teams were all also not very good. They were expansion teams. They tended to have novice ownership groups. And Atlanta's team struggled on the field and at the box office. And one thing that comes up a lot in this book is pro wrestling. I actually talk about this for many pages in the book, the popularity of wrestling in the region. Because one thing I attribute the difficulty that the teams in Atlanta had in their early years of drawing success was the popularity of other sports in the region, whether it was college football, whether it was golf, whether it was boating, whether it was pro wrestling. There were all these pre-existing sports that were really popular that were regional attractions. Pro wrestling, almost foremost among them. Back to the 1940s, Atlanta Wrestling was a company called ABC Booking. They were first in an arena with a dirt floor called the Sports Arena. Then they were in a city armory that was built during the Cleveland administration in the 19th century. Eventually, they get to the Omni, but when it gets built in the 1970s, pro wrestling draws as well as any sport in Atlanta, and as consistently. It gets huge TV ratings at that 6 o'clock Saturday night TV time slot, just like WCW used in later decades. They drew full houses not only in Atlanta, but in all the other major cities of the state, and it was a very hot territory for decades, eventually evolving into Georgia Championship Wrestling, which began broadcasting on TBS to around the country. So, for example, on many Friday nights in the wintertime, the Atlanta Hawks, with Pete Maravich as their point guard, the best-known basketball player in the country in the early 1970s, drew fewer people than pro wrestling did at the city's armory a couple of miles away, people sweating it out in the stands, standing room-only crowds watching Dusty Rhodes and Bobo Brazil and Thunderbolt Patterson and guys like this in the 1970s. So pro wrestling, in spite of all these new attractions, pro wrestling still drew a crowd. And one thing when Atlanta brought in pro sports, Atlanta had sought to create this reputation of being the city too busy to hate, that it was the southern city that was progressive on racial issues relative to the rest of the region. But that didn't really get reflected in the pro sports. The fan bases at the stadiums, partially for economic reasons, partially for cultural reasons, were predominantly white fans in the stands. You go to pro wrestling in Atlanta, you had a very diverse group of people going and attending. You had diverse participants as well, much more so than the other sports in town. The city was bringing in pro sports in part to bring people together. Pro wrestling was already bringing people together across social barriers, across racial barriers, long before the big leagues got to town. There were white fans and black fans cheering alongside each other long before they were in other sports in the city. So in many ways, pro wrestling was something that genuinely was a force for unity in Atlanta for many decades, even before pro sports got to town. So pro wrestling is a significant part of this much larger book about Atlanta sports in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, Atlanta had promotions, as you mentioned. They had World Championship Wrestling. They had NWA and AAWA and the WWE. WWE, at one time when they were the WWF, only covered the eastern portion of the upper northeast United States. They never really were in that area. And then when Vince McMahon the first time bought WCW, and then Turner ended up buying it. And so, you know, Jim Crockett, when I remember when that all happened, I was little and I remember all that. So, you know, we don't have too much time left. Smoking Jim, what's your thoughts?
Clayton, you said the book is about the 60s and 70s in Atlanta. I'm not sure if this is a part of it, but Atlanta stepped up big time in 1970. That's when Muhammad Ali was banned from boxing for 3.5 years, and the only place that he could fight to get it sanctioned was in Atlanta against Jerry Quarry. Was that mentioned in the book, by the way?
Oh, yeah, that's mentioned. It actually took place in the same building, the city auditorium, the same place where wrestling was in the city. So in many ways, you want to go see a big prize fight, whether it's wrestling or boxing, that was the place in Atlanta. So, yeah, definitely, I cover that. It's not a major focus of the book, but it's referenced in the book. It's certainly a major sporting event and reflective of the same sensibilities that are covered elsewhere in the book. Yeah, that's a tremendously significant event. I mean, Atlanta had Sam Massel, who was the mayor, very progressive at the time, who was instrumental in helping make that happen with the Ali fight in town.
I can't wait to read the book. How about you, Ralph?
I'm gonna get a copy myself, and I really can't wait to check out the book. What I can't wait is Smoking Jim. I think we're gonna have him on our TV show next month on Sports Corner, and I think we should. I'm going to have him on Tuesday night at 8:00 on Sports Corner on my podcast. So I think we'll.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, Ralph, we only got 1 minute on the show. You want to wind it down, buddy? Your last remarks?
I do. My last remark is that one quick thing about AEW: Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee won the tag team belts from the Young Bucks last night. So I want to let everyone know that. I had some other stuff, but we don't have enough time. I do want to wind it down. I could be reached at ralphwilliams737@gmail.com, Facebook page, Ralph Williams, YouTube channel, also Sports Corner, the way I see it, shows are on there. You could check them out and subscribe. I've already got a few more subscribers. And also on the Ken and Twitter. And also our show is sponsored by DJ Fun. If you need a DJ in the Pittsburgh area, call DJ Fun today, 412-545-4317. July 23rd, 11 a.m., DJ Fun will be at the new West Mifflin Flea Market, which is in the old Sam's Club across from the county airport. You'll be there spinning your favorite tunes, And you can check out the new flea market as well, July 23rd, West Smithfield Market at the old Sam's Club across from the old county, across from the county airport.
Smoking Jim Frazier, Instagram and Facebook.
Clayton, how can people get a hold of you?
Check me out on Twitter at Clayton Truder. Hope you check out my book, Loserville. I'm on Facebook, too. Love to be your friend, Clayton Truder. Ralph, Jim, Mark, thanks so much for having me on. It's been a pleasure talking wrestling with
you guys.
You're
welcome. All right, everybody, have a good night. Thanks for watching. Be safe. For Smoking Jim Frazier, Mark Mancini, and for Clayton Truder, I am Ralph Williams. Everyone have a great night and be safe. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week, 8 p.m.